Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph Perek Kaf Hei, Chapter 25. Let's recap Perek Kaf Dalet, Chapter 24. After Shaul fights with the Plishtim, he resumes searching for David with 3,000 men. He's notified that David is in Gedi, and that's the perfect place for David to hide. There's sweet water there. It's a dry desert surrounded by mountains with naturally formed caves from water, hollowing out the limestone rock. Today, that stream in Engedi is called Nachal David because of our story in Tanakh. David is hiding deep in a mountain cave with his men, and Shaul enters that very same cave. Shaul, who has been running after him to capture him and kill him, is in his cave, unaware that David is there, deep in the cave. David can attack Shaul and kill him with one slice, using the sword of Goliath that he took from Nov. David is the anointed one. Maybe this will finalize his becoming king. Should he kill Shaul? It might be considered self-defense, because Shaul is a rodef, someone who pursues another with the clear intent to kill. The Navi makes it very clear that Shaul intends to kill David, so David would be able to defend his act in court. Could David live with himself if he murders Shaul? Remember, he's his father-in-law. He's his best friend's father. David has been slipping lately and endangering everyone around him because he is fleeing from Shaul. In the heat of the moment, what will David do? David's men say, this is your chance to do what you want, kill or maim Shaul. Hashem told you that one day he will deliver your enemies into your hands. The 400 men with him are clearly encouraging him to kill Shaul. But David only cuts Shaul's garment, and he even feels bad about that, because Shaul is the anointed one. We viewed this through the eyes of four commentators, four Parshanim, Rashi, Radak, Ralbag, and Malbim. The commentators all have different approaches to what happened in the cave, but they all agree that it was a pivotal moment for David. He could have legally killed Shaul, but he didn't. He even feels bad about cutting his coat, desecrating the clothes and image of the king. David himself holds himself back from lowering himself to Shaul's level. And not only that, he speaks to his men to defend Shaul's honor as the anointed one. After Shaul leaves the cave, David calls out after him and shows him the cut garment and says, Father, Avi, I could have killed you, but I had pity on you because you are the anointed one. Why are you hunting to murder me? And Shaul cries, is this your voice, my son David? And David called Shaul father before, and now Shaul calls David son. It's very powerful that Shaul says, is this your voice, my son David? Because Shaul first meets David when he's brought to him to play and sing for him, to soothe him when he has the Ruach Ra'ah. We focused on the fact that David's voice, his words, his ideas, his emunah, are his most profound traits. David did something very heroic here by not killing Shaul. David is taking the moral high ground. So too with Goliath. David fought Goliath with his voice and a slingshot. But David has been slipping lately since he had to run away from home. But we're now happy to see that he's getting his voice back a bit, his sense of self. And Shaul here acknowledges that David was very charitable by not killing him. And he also knows that he's going to be the next king. Does this mean that Shaul will never hunt David again? Because Shaul swears, do not kill my children, and I know that you will be king, or not? Does this also imply that David is on a trajectory only upwards, smooth sailing from here? That he learned his lesson, he's speaking, he's taking the high road with Shaul, and he's always going to act that way? Let's see what happens in our next perek, Perek Kaf Hei, chapter 25. This is our perek. Our first pasuk informs us that Shmuel passed away Shmuel passes away. I want to make sure that's clear. And all of Bnei Israel mourned him and buried him in his hometown in Ramah. Shmuel was a huge presence in Am Yisrael and in Shaul and David's life. The next pasuk, pasuk bet, verse 2, starts the story of Naval and Avigail. Naval was a wealthy individual who was harsh and selfish, and Kalibi. Does that mean dog-like, because Kelev means dog? Or does it mean he comes from the Judean family Kalev, Kalev ben Yifune, which would link him to the promise of Judean royalty? His wife Avigail is described as Tovat Sechel v'Yifat Toar, very wise and smart and beautiful. She's one of the only women in Tanakh where we first talk about her brains and then we talk about her beauty. Even though beauty in Tanakh always means inward and outward beauty. Some suggest that maybe he started out as a good person, but his wealth and the fact that he was not more respected and honored in Judea among Bnei Yehuda made him an angry man, because we're all thinking the same thing. What is such a smart, wonderful woman doing with a man like Naval? David was camping near the location where Naval's sheep grazed, and he and his men protected Naval's sheep. They were not hired by Naval, but they did it as a service, and maybe Naval would give them a big tip in return. On sheep shearing day, David sends 10 young messenger boys to Naval to inquire about his health and to ask for some payment. For Avdecha, Bincha, David, your servant, your son, David. David is not a servant, nor his son. But he wants to find favor in Naval's eyes. Naval explodes and says, who is David? Who is Ben Yishai? Many servants today are rebelling against their masters. Am I going to share my bread, water, and meat with people I don't know? So the young men receive a harsh rebuke. And it's possible that Naval wants it on record that he is rejecting David, because David is known as the rebellious one. When Achimelech was nice to David, his whole city was decimated. That's how the city of Nov, the city of the Kohanim, the priestly city, was totally destroyed. Or is Naval really just being stingy, and that's why he doesn't want to share with David? When the messengers return to David and repeat Naval's retort, David reacts very harshly as well. Vayomer David l'anashav, chigru ish et charbo, vayichgru ish et charbo, vayichgor gam David et charbo, vayalu achrei David ka'arba ma'ot ish u'matayim yashvu ala kelim. This is verse 13, Pasuk Yud Gimel. And David said to his men, gird your swords. And all the men girded their swords. And David too girded his sword. And about 400 men went with him, and 200 remained with the baggage. Let's analyze what is depicted in this Pasuk. David says to his men to wear their swords, and all the men gird their swords, and David also girds his sword. Sword is mentioned 3 times in this pasuk. Our whole thesis has been that in David's life, when the sword is too center stage, he is in trouble. David's life is in a struggle now to balance between his Yaakov side and his Esav side, the sword versus the voice. In the cave, the men instigated David to take the sword. And David even felt bad when he just cut the corner of Shaul's cloak, but he did take the sword. Now, David is instigating his men to take up the sword. And our first impression is that they want to go and take what belongs to them by force. Not only that, David is going with his 400 men, just like Esav went with 400 men when he was meeting Yaakov. So this idea of David being in a struggle between his Yaakov and Esav personalities comes very clear in this perek. One of Avigail's servants mentioned this episode to her and warned her that it will end badly. You don't get David angry. So she rushes, Vatemaher Avigail, and gathers food and loads the donkeys to bring it to David. And she does not tell her husband Naval that she went to do this mission. And she's coming around the mountain. She meets the front line of David's men. But David does not see her yet, and he swears. And it's so interesting, because he swears already when the solution has come. But he doesn't know it, but we know that, because we're reading it. V'David amar, ach l'sheker shamarti et kol asher l'zeh b'midbar, v'lo nifkad mikol asher l'olum uma, v'yashav li ra'a, tachat tova. David has been saying, it was all for nothing that I protected that fellow's possessions in the wilderness and made sure nothing was missing. He paid me back evil for good, right? David wants to be paid for Naval's, you know, for watching Naval's sheep. God, I swear that I will not leave any male, those who urinate against the wall, by sunrise. David is very upset that he's not getting compensation for all the security he provided Naval. He was relying on the fact that Naval would pay him protection money. They did not sign a contract. He was not hired by Naval, but he was expecting payment. And because of this, he's enraged that Naval rejects him, and he swears in God's name that he will destroy all the males in Naval's house by sunrise. Is he maybe displacing all his anger that he really has directed against Shaul now against Naval? So he's projecting, right, that anger? Very interesting psychological concept. This is a very low point for David. He's going to kill Naval and all the males in his family because Naval disrespected him. And he wouldn't give him a tip for unwarranted services. Earlier, we were criticizing Shaul because he takes everything too personally and is forgetting his responsibility as king because he only uses a personal lens and not a national lens. Now David is seeing everything narrowly and is willing to murder for this slight. Abigail sees David approach and says to David and rushes to his feet and falls at his feet and starts giving a speech that she's taking all the responsibility for the rough treatment that David received at the hands of her husband, Naval. She says, ignore Naval. Look, I brought you all this food that you requested. And now through her words, she's reminding David who he is. She is like the Yaakov to David's Esav. She's bringing the gifts to stop a catastrophe, like Yaakov did with Esav. She remarks in verse 28, don't you fight God's wars? Milchamot Hashem Adoni Nilcham? Implying not personal vendettas like the one you're doing now. You should be fighting God's wars, not your personal wars. Verse 30, Hashem should do everything that he promised to make you king. But, verse 31, but if you murder Naval, shedding innocent blood, it will make an obstacle to your leadership. And maybe you won't become king. But whatever happens, remember me, says Abigail. What Abigail is brilliantly doing here is reminding David who he is and what his core values are. If he does this horrific act, it might disqualify him from becoming king. Midrash Tehillim Mizmor Nun Gimel states that Abigail was better for David than all the korbanot, all the sacrifices in the world. Because if he would kill Naval, no sacrifice would absolve him of guilt. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah, page 14, states that when we discuss the swords, David was asking the Sanhedrin, the high court, whether he could try Naval for high treason, Morid B'Malchut, which is a king's prerogative. When the people do not listen to his commands, he can order death penalty. So Abigail points out, firstly, that he's convening this court at night, and we don't judge capital punishment at night. And secondly, you're not king yet. You're just anointed as prospective king. So you can't judge Morid B'Malchut because you're not king yet. David could have brushed her away and say, I swore to my men, I can't go back and change my mind. It'll look like I'm weak. And he could say, I will not take advice from a woman, and especially the wife of my nemesis at this moment. But her words get to him. He internalizes them and reflects on his actions. He has a Yehuda moment and a Boaz moment. Yehuda admitted to Tamar, Tzadka mimeni, she is more righteous than I. And Boaz admitted that Rut was right for waiting to be redeemed by Boaz. All the major leaders in Shevet Yehuda are saved at critical moments in their careers by women. David admits to Abigail, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael asher shlachecha yom hazeh likrati. Ah, Hashem is praised because he sent you this day to meet me. Ubaruch ta'amech ubrucha at, asher kilitani ayom hazeh miboba damim vosheali. And you're also getting a bracha. You're also blessed for your prudence, for your restraining me from seeking redress, right, in blood by my own hands, meaning you stopped me from killing and shedding innocent blood. And he says, you know, if you did not come, I would have killed all the males in the family by daybreak. And David takes the present of the food that she gave. David sees Abigail as God's messenger and blesses and prays her for saving him from shedding innocent blood. Because if she hadn't come, he would have murdered all the males in Nabal's family. He takes the food that she brought, says, Shamati bekolech, va'esa panayich, I'm listening to your voice. Most of Tanakh is filled with listening to the wife's voice. Kol asher tomare lecha Sarah shma bekola. Do everything Sarah tells you. We could think the Tanakh would be filled with the opposite, after Chava's debacle in Gan Eden with the tree of knowledge, Eitz Hadat. But no. Usually it is the good Jewish wife who gives good Jewish advice. Abigail goes home and waits until Nabal is sober, and then tells him how she countermanded his will and brought food for David. When he hears this, he becomes catatonic and dies 10 days later. And David sees that Hashem is fighting his wars for him. And now that Abigail is a widow, he asks for her hand in marriage. And he becomes her. And she becomes his wife. David could have derailed his kingly career goals right here. He was letting his anger and jealousy get the better of him. He would lose the kingship the same way Shaul lost it. But for David, it would be over even before it began. Abigail truly saves David with her cool-headedness, with her voice, with her words, and modeling for David what he should be. She helps David find himself. Will he be able at this point to maintain this? Let's see what happens in our next chapter, chapter 26, Perek Vav. So we're going to sum up a little. Our first pasuk informs us that Shmuel passed away and all of Bnei Israel mourned him and buried him in his hometown in the Ramah. And the next pasuk tells us about two interesting individuals, Nabal and Abigail. Nabal was a wealthy individual with a lot of cattle, sheep, but he was harsh and selfish. And his wife Abigail was Tovat Sechel Veifat Toar, very wise, smart, and beautiful. On sheep shearing day, David sends 10 young messengers to Nabal to inquire about his health and to ask for some payment. For Avdecha Bincha David, your servant, your son David. Why? Because David watched Nabal's sheep unwarranted, and he was not asked by Nabal, but he watched Nabal's sheep, so he wants a tip. Nabal explodes and says, who is David and who is Ben Yishai? Many servants are rebelling today. I'm not going to share my bread, my water, my meat with you. Not with rebellious people. Nabal is worried. Is Shaul now going to see him as an accomplice to David? Or is Nabal just being stingy? When the messengers return to David and repeat Nabal's retort, David reacts harshly. He says, everyone take their sword. And everyone takes their sword. And David takes his sword. We said it's very interesting. Why is sword mentioned three times in this pasuk? And why is David taking the sword? Does he want to kill Nabal? Does he want to take the money and the food by force? Not only that, David is with 400 men. So the image of David with the sword with 400 men is a very clear image of David as Esav, not as Yaakov. And ironically, that's the image of Esav with his 400 men when he's about to meet Yaakov. So what's happening here is the image of David is turning into Esav. One of Abigail's servants mentioned this to her, that David asked for food and Nabal rejected them. So she gathers food and she puts them on the donkeys and she comes round the mountain. She sees David's men, but David doesn't see her yet. And he is so upset that he swears that he's going to kill all the males in Nabal's house by sunrise. When Abigail sees David, she approaches him and she throws herself at his feet and she says, look, ignore Nabal. I'm taking responsibility. Here's the food you requested. She's trying to remind David who he is. And here, ironically again, she's becoming the Yaakov. She is offering the food to David in order to placate him. And David is the image of Esav. So she reminds him, don't you usually fight God's wars? God's wars, Milchamot Hashem? You should not do personal vendettas. You should be remembering who you are. You should not spill innocent blood. Hashem takes care of your enemies. Abigail is brilliantly reminding David of who he is and what his core values are. If he does this horrific act, he might be disqualified from becoming king. But her words get to him, and he internalizes and reflects on his actions. He has a Yehuda moment and a Boaz moment. Yehuda, when he admitted that's about Tamar, tzadka mimeni, she's more righteous than I am. And a Boaz moment when Boaz admits that Ruth was right, for waiting to be redeemed by Boaz. All major leaders in Shevet Yehuda are saved at the crucial moments in their lives by women. We women are so amazing. David sees Abigail as God's messenger and blesses and praises her for saving him from shedding innocent blood, because he admits if she hadn't come, he would have murdered everyone in Naval, all the males in Naval's family. And what does he say? Shamati bekolech va'esa panayich. I listen to your voice. Most of Tanakh is filled with listening to the wife's voice. Kol asher tomar elecha sarah shma bekola. We would think that Tanakh would be filled with the opposite after Chava's debacle in Gan Eden with the tree of knowledge, with the Eitz Hadat. But no. The good Jewish wife usually gives good advice across the board. Abigail goes home and waits until Naval is sober and then tells him how she countermanded his will and brought food to David. He is so upset when he hears that he becomes catatonic, his heart dies in his chest, and he dies 10 days later. And David sees that God is fighting his wars for him. And now, once Abigail is a widow, he asks for her hand in marriage, and she becomes his wife. David could have derailed his kingly career goals right here. He was letting his anger and jealousy get the better of him. He would lose the kingship the same way Shaul lost it. For David, it would be even before he became king. So Abigail truly saves David. Abigail truly saves the day with her cool-headedness, with her voice, with her words, with her modeling, showing David what he should be, and David finds himself. So, will he be able to maintain this level? Let's see what happens in our next chapter, chapter 26, Perek Kavav. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.